Amen. We all sit together. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Why did the chicken cross the road? If I can draw your attention to verse number 35 that says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, hey, let's go to the other side. That day when time passed, in the fullness of time, when evening came, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. To the other side, to the other side. Is anybody on the other side? Anybody glad you made it to the other side? Anybody glad you can say almost 18 months ago they said we couldn't have church and here we are on the other side. Maybe they said you were going to lose your job, but now you're on the other side. Maybe you lost a loved one, but now you're on the other side. Who am I talking to? To the other side, Jesus said, can we go to the other side? Look, you're on the other side. Can we get to the other side? Come to the realization that the other side is a calling, but most of us are forced to go. Jesus says to his disciples, hey, let's go to the other side. It is something that we should hear. Most of us don't get to the other side because of something we hear. We get to the other side because of pressure. That happens as a result of life, happens as a result of our situation. For all of us right now in the room and around the world who are looking at ourselves, our churches, our businesses, our families, our marriages, our relationships, on the other side of COVID, we are not on the other side of COVID because we want to be on the other side. We're on the other side because we were made to go to the other side. And the reason why we were made to go to the other side is because there's something about us that is comfortable with knowledge on one side. We refuse to admit how easy it is to become one-sided. We refuse to admit to the fact that there's something about us being human and there's something about us being who we are that we have an experience on one side. We get comfortable on one side. We see the world from that one side. And then we determine that that's how life is. We determine this is life. So there was life on that side, or love on that side, or ministry on that side, or money on that side. And as a result of that, we get comfortable. But my question this morning to everyone that made it to be in the room with us and to everyone around the world, can we go to the other side? When they interviewed me this morning, the news came, and they asked me about this. I said, we're not going back to church. There is no going back. There's only going forward. And something is wrong with all of us if we are so comfortable with our one-sided perspective that we're not hearing the call of Jesus to go to the other side. Sometimes we only see one side until we're forced to the other side. My contention this morning is that it's easy to be white and only see the world from the white side. It's easy to be black and only see the world from the black side. It's easy to be a man and only see the world from the man side. It's easy to be a woman and only see your world from your female perspective woman side. It's easy to be rich and only see the world from the rich side. It's easy to be broke and only see the world from the broke side. It's easy for you to be healthy and only see the world from the healthy side. It's easy to be sick and only see the world from the sick side. It's easy to be blessed and only see the world from the blessed side. Son, you got a chance to see the world from a not blessed, look like you're barren. It's easy to be fruitful and only see the world from the fruitful side. But what happens when life makes you look at the world from the barren side? Happens when your dreams fall apart. It's easy to see the world from the everything's going your way side, but what happens when all hell breaks loose? What happens when your heart is broken? It's easy to see the world from your in love side. It's harder to see the world from the your heart is broken side. Easy to see the world from the Christian side. easy to be a Christian and only see the world from the Christian side. It's easy to be a heathen and only see the world from the heathen side. My question is, can you see the other side? Can you be deep enough to see the other side of your current perspective? All of us want to have faith and never see the world from the fear side. COVID came down here, and the next thing you know, everybody who thought they had faith was now wrestling with fear. I wish I had a witness in it. Everybody that thought it was all together, every church person they thought that thought they had church all figured out, had to figure out what is happening on the other side. Can you see the other side? Can you gain knowledge on the other side? Can we not just stay focused on the church side? I've been asking, can we see the world from the kingdom side? There is knowledge on the other side. Tell somebody, on the other side, on the other side. I ain't had nobody to say this to. Elbow somebody, say, to the other side, to the other side. You've been on this side, get to the other side. You've seen the world from the Christian side. Can you even remotely see it from the heathen side? You've already seen the world from the black side. You've already seen the world from the white side. Can you see it from the other side? Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. The chicken crossed the road because he had seen what there was to see on one side, and there was something else to experience on the other side. And we have to keep ourselves from being chickens and only stay on one side. We cannot let a chicken outdo us. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, it did it to get to the other side. Whenever I talked about roads and sides, there are two main stories that I've told. The more recent, newer story is the story of Canadian geese. I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road and seen one of these Canadian geese lazily crossing the street. I wish I had a witness in the building. Just taking their time. And I see traffic stop. I don't know if it's ever happened where you see traffic and you look around and everyone has stopped for geese. Like, make way for ducklings. And the geese are just walking across the road, taking their time, talking to one another, and just lazily taking their time. I don't know about you, and this is live streaming. Trust I don't get in any trouble, but I do not stop for geese. Don't do it. Pastor Andy, don't stop for geese. You might say, oh, there's a chip in them. Well, they about to be a dead chip, because I don't stop for no geese. If I'm coming down the road and them lazy birds are walking across the road, I speed up. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had an honest heathen saint in here with me this morning. I speed up. They know my car now. Oh, there you go. They got to get up. Because I'm not slowing down for geese. I'm a serial killer for geese. That's right. The first time I had stopped for geese. One time. Let me tell you why I almost killed geese. The first time I was going along with y'all and your little geese rules and had stopped for geese, and the Holy Spirit said to me, that's you. I said, Lord, that's me. He said, yeah. Why are you walking when you could be flying? Why are you moving slower than you could move? Why are you waddling when I've given you wings to get across? And I decided I'm not stopping for a bird that has a way to get across faster than the way they're going. They have decided to walk for whatever reason, but when they see me coming, they got to get their behinds up off the ground and in the air and get to the other side. And for many of us, That's COVID. That's loss. That's difficulty. Difficulty bears down on you, and you thought you were walking till that car came. You had to get up off the ground. You thought you were moving, son, till COVID came. You had to fly. Second story that I tell about road crossings, I've told this story many times. Squirrel trying to get across the road. I know I'm not the only one that has killed a squirrel in here. I won't make you raise your hands. I know I'm not the only one to make a squirrel see the squirrel Jesus that died for this squirrel sins. I know I'm not the only one. If you've ever killed a squirrel with your car, I have. I'm telling you, I have. And I'll tell you why. Because you're driving down the road, especially here in North Carolina. You may be here, wherever you may be around the world. But here in North Carolina, you're driving down the road, and some squirrel come running out. Now, when the squirrel runs out, I start talking to him. I start saying, come on, brother squirrel, come on, keep going, come on. You can make it, brother squirrel, keep on going, see what the end's gonna be. You can make it, brother squirrel. I start preaching to him, come on, squirrel, you can get to the other side. What normally happens is, if you've ever killed a squirrel, I won't make you raise your hand, and I know all of y'all are watching have killed a squirrel. If you've ever killed a squirrel with your car, what happens is that the squirrel comes out, he gets past your right tire. But then in the middle, as you get closer to him, he's filled with doubt. And if he kept on running, he would get to the other side. But what happens is, because danger is bearing down on him, y'all don't hear me preaching in here, because danger is bearing down on him, instead of running on, he turns around and goes back, and it's my right tire that boom, boom, sends him on to his reward. And we came to tell somebody today, you must have kept on running. COVID came down on you. You kept on running. It looked like it was about to kill you. You kept on running. You kept on moving. The word says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and are saved. Who am I talking to? We are not of those who gave up. We in this room are of those who ran on and are saved. Because life will bear down on you. Situations will bear down on you. Imperfect situations will bear down on you. You're going to get some news that will bear down on you. And the only way you'll make it is if you run to the other side, no matter how close the danger is. No matter how much it looks like they're going to lay you off, keep on running. No matter how much it looks like folk don't love you, keep on running. No matter how much folk talk about you, you got to keep on running. No matter how dire the straits look, you need to keep on running. No matter what the statistics are with men and women, I'm here to tell somebody that you need to keep on running and get to the other side. Can I get a witness in here this morning? I say, can I get a witness in here this morning? Do I have anybody in here that can say, oh, I kept on running and got to the other side? No, I kept going, Pastor Andy. I got to the other side. The devil thought he had me, but I went to the other side. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Because if we shrink back, God's soul will not be pleased with us. God did not promise us perfection. He said, I'm going to be bothered if the danger makes you stop running. You got to get to the other side. My question this morning is, can we go to the other side? Can't see that clock. Can we go to the other side? It's all right. I'll just preach all day. Hallelujah. Can we go? Somebody's like, turn the clock on, turn the clock on. Can we go to the other side? I'm hungry. I want his Biscuitville clothes. Can we go to the other side? Can we still make brunch? Can we go to the other side? Did they turn the clock on yet? Can we go to the other side? Are we so stuck on this side that we can't get to the other side. Mark chapter 4, it says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And I don't know about you, but there's knowledge on the other side. When I look at this passage, there's knowledge on the other side. This passage makes me realize that there was something for us to gain on this side. We didn't want to do it, but we went through it. We didn't volunteer for it, but we went through it. It's amazing how we just adapted, got masks to match your shoes. It's amazing how we just adapted, walk around spinning a mask. It's amazing how quickly we adapted to the mask. Some of y'all got a special mask. Look at that sparkly gold mask you got on, girl. Some of us had, we got fancy with the masks. Not anything we ever wanted to do. I know I'm not the only one walking through an airport, seeing someone, most of the time Asian, with a mask on their face and thinking, look at that crazy person walking. Look at this crazy person walking with a mask on. And now we got masks in our car. You got a mask in your purse. You keep a mask in your pocket. You got a mask on your steering wheel. I wish I had a witness in me. You got a mask. Your baby got a mask. You got a green mask. You got a blue mask. You got a red mask. You got a white mask. You got an off-white mask. What has happened is that this situation forced you to the other side. I would contend that the Lord allowed this because there's knowledge on the other side. And when I look at this passage, I see knowledge on the other side. Let me share it with you really quickly. You know I see seven because I see seven in everything. And if you're taking notes, I'll throw it on the screens for you really quickly because I see knowledge on the other side. I've gained knowledge on the other side. The first knowledge that I've gained on the other side, because the beginning of the verse says, and I'm going to exegete it like my father taught me. I'm going to exegete the passage. The first thing it says, that when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. So the first knowledge that we've all gained is that time is a factor. Time is a factor. When evening came, you might have thought time was not a factor before this. Word says, teach us to number our days aright so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Folk dropping from a breathing thing has made you number your days. Something wrong with you. If you haven't thought to yourself, okay, I am 41, okay, I am 36, okay, I am 51, okay, I am 19, okay, I am 47, and now how much time do I have left, and what exactly is going to happen, because no amount of Holy Ghost will take you out of time. How much Holy Ghost you got, don't care how much fasting or praying you got, you've got a set amount of time to be on this planet. Eat all the kale you want. At some point, you're going to die. Oh, I hate kale. Help us, Jesus. Drink all the kale shakes you want. At some point, we're going to roll you up here and put you in a box, and we're going to sing about you and talk about you and worship and go into fellowship hall and eat some fried chicken. It's going to happen. Time is a factor. You don't have forever to make your money. You don't have forever to have a baby. You don't have forever to get it together. You don't have forever. Time is a factor. I think we learned that as a result of this. Now you're on the other side saying, well, Lord, why did I survive? Lord, why am I still alive? Why am I still breathing? Lord, what do you have for me now since I made it? Time is a factor. Says, let us go to the other side. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. Second knowledge I've gained is sometimes you have to leave the crowd behind. You have to leave the crowd behind. You can't take everybody with you to the other side. No matter how much you like them, no matter how far you go back, and y'all are boys from the hood, you will find that there's a difference between the crowd and the core. There's a difference between the folk that just want to wave sometime and the folk that want to actually make it. There's a difference between the people that talk good and do well. It's a big difference between the people that talk about making money, Walt, and folk who actually make some money. The big difference between the crowd that has dreams and the ballers that actually can dunk. And you can sit there and listen to ballers talk all day. Well, Chris Paul should have done this, and this one should have done this, and this one should have done that. You are not worthy to talk about none of them. They're on a whole nother level than you. He should have cut this way. He should have dove. You should just be glad that you get to watch. You are the crowd. They are the player. Life will teach you there is a difference between players and crowd. Oh, my goodness. We found out through this who really know the Lord. We found out through this who really know how to pray. We found out through this who really had something together. We found out what churches could really make the adaptation. Crowd has to be left behind. Number three, it says, and there were also boats with him, meaning people will still follow you. The third knowledge I've gained from the other side is that even when I leave the crowd behind, and the crowd will talk about you, the crowd will hate on you, the crowd will talk evil about you just because you made it. The crowd won't like you just because you were successful. I don't know. The crowd will have an attitude with you just because you look good. If you ever been around somebody like that, look at you. Just and you, when they do it to me, I'm just like, yes, look. Well, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where the crowd wants to dog you just because you made it. They'll talk about you and still follow you. They'll talk about you and still copy you. They'll talk about you and still follow in your footsteps. They'll talk about you and still take advice from you. They'll talk. You hear that they dogged you, and then the next thing you know, they're asking you a question, because just because you leave them don't mean they won't follow you. You have to realize people are following you. Even the folk who don't like you are following you. Even your family that can't stand you will still follow you. Even the folk that told you they hate you will still follow you. They may not like you, but they have to respect you. Number four, a furious squall came up. Waves broke over the boat. It was nearly swamped. Number four, storms are inevitable. Storms are inevitable. You haven't learned that yet? Learn it now. Storms are inevitable. They asked me today, well, are you, is it masked? Is it not? I said, well, it's whatever you want. She said, well, the question was, well, okay, you're meeting again, but what if, I mean, there's spikes, there's new strains. What will happen? I said, look, we are learning how to live every day and let tomorrow take care of itself. If nothing else, we got to have church today. I wish I had a witness in the building. If nothing else, we had church in this room today. And if somebody decides to kiss a giraffe tomorrow, and we all have giraffiness, and then we have to stream again, we'll stream again. Because sunshine is not promised. Who am I talking to? Storms are inevitable. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And there's a storm in the obedience. So anyone who thinks that a storm only happens to heathens got another think coming. Any of you that think that a storm only comes because folk make mistakes don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes the biggest storms come trying to obey God. I need a witness. I need a witness. I need a witness. I need somebody to wave at me and say, oh, yes, Pastor Andy. Oh, yes. I thought hell broke loose till I got saved. For some of us, it was hell before you got saved. For many of us, though, after you got saved, all kinds of hell broke loose after you came to God. You was perfectly fine as long as you was high all the time. When you came down, oh, I know y'all don't know nothing. There's this stuff called weed. Y'all don't know nothing about this. And you smoke it. What's that, Pastor Andy? Well, it's from the earth. Know what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is, for many of you, you didn't really know trouble till you went to church. Devil got mad when you came to church. Can I get a witness in the building? I went. Some of us was raised that way. Some of us never took a drug because they told you, you be the one that one puff and you die. Everybody else will be past the Dutchie Pundit. I said, everybody else will be passing it and it'll come around to you, puff, puff, give, and you die. I know I'm not the only one who had a holy grandmama to talk. I've prayed over you. I've prayed over you. I prayed. I rebuke weed over your life. If you smoke it, you'll die. I'll die. Storms are inevitable. You're not going to avoid a storm just because you're saved. I don't want to keep talking about my son, but my son is one of the leading young preachers in the world, traveling the world preaching the gospel, but his faith got tested from a storm. I wish I had a witness in the building. I wish I had a witness in the building. You don't know you love Jesus till you love him through tears. You don't know you love Jesus until your heart is broken. You don't know you love Jesus until you wonder if he's alive or not. Stop fronting and act like you never wonder if he's alive. Stop fronting and act like you don't ever talk to God and say, do you even hear me? Don't act like you have never thought to yourself, I'm about to give up on this thing. And just at your lowest moment, God stepped in. And you came to the other side and you could barely shout because you doubted so much. No, I'm not the only one talk junk about God. I know I'm not the only one. I talk junk about the Lord. I know. It's okay. You can admit. I'll admit it. I'll tell you. I said, Lord, you ain't right. Do me right. I don't know if you've ever seen a heathen blessed and it make you mad. Oh, y'all don't know. You sit there and look at this heathen making all this money. I do rebuke. I bind in the name of Jesus. You just a hater. Storms are inevitable. Number five, Jesus is in the boat, but not active. Jesus is in the boat, but not active. He's asleep. Just because Jesus is in your boat does not mean you have activated him. I know for many of us, we were wondering, is Jesus even in the boat, Bishop? Is he even in the boat? Is Jesus in the boat with me? Is he even in the boat? It's absolutely possible to be going through life and forget Jesus. They are being swamped. Waves are crashing over. Finally, somebody says, wait a minute. I just remembered. I know the King of Kings. Wait a minute. I just remembered. My grandmama taught me how to pray. Wait a minute. I just remembered. I'm not doing this thing by myself. Wait a minute. I just remembered that he may not come when I want him. Wait a minute. I just remembered he's Emmanuel. Got so much in my fisherman skills that I forgot he's in the boat with me. If anybody ever knew that Jesus was in their boat, it's you. Everybody in this room ought to wave their hand at me right now, because clearly Jesus is in your boat. Clearly the Lord is on your side. Clearly, oh, you better wave at me more vigorously than that. Clearly God is in your boat, and you may not have been aware of it. Because some of you, the Lord is in your boat because your grandmama asked for him to be in your boat. Some of you, the Lord is in your boat because your great-grandmama tithed. You didn't even do right, but the favor on your grandmama. And you got blessings coming on you that you don't deserve. Clearly, the Lord is in your boat. But you have not activated him. Number six is hard pop. They activate him. They wake him up. And they say to him, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, don't you care if we drown? This is a good question. I know I've asked this question. Lord, don't you care if we die? Lord, don't you care? My grandmama died. My auntie died. My this one died. They were only 64. COVID came through here and took them out. Lord, don't you care? I thought you cared. Isn't life the most important thing to you? Carest thou not that we perish? How are you going to let us die like that? How are you going to let good people die? I'm asking the question. How are you going to let good people die? I don't know if you've ever been at a funeral of a good person dying. You thought to yourself, Lord, if you want to take somebody, I'll tell you somebody to take. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Lord, I got a list of folk if you want to take somebody home. Preacher got to make up some kind of excuse as to why they're gone, because it's inexplicable. Carest thou not that we perish? How concerned is God about our life? It's a scary question. Does he care about whether or not we live or not? Of course. He said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I've come that you'll have life and that more abundantly. But I don't know. There's something about walking with the Lord that makes me wonder sometimes. Is he more concerned with his plan than my life? I know I'm not the only one where he has required that I sacrifice some stuff for his kingdom. See, everybody can't get on this one, because this is not the most popular message. We want to believe that our life comes first. We want to believe that Jesus rebuked the storm to save their life. But I would contend that he rebuked the storm for them to get to the other side. If we have been waiting for the Lord to rebuke COVID so we can go back to church how we had it, we got another thing coming. He's not that concerned with how we used to have church. He's not that concerned with the fact that folk may be losing it. I don't think he rebuked the storm because they were about to drown. I think he rebuked the storm because the mission was to go to the other side. I'm going to make you clap for that one. I don't think the Lord spared your life because he's scared you'll die. He's the God of the living and the dead. To live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm sorry. I don't think you're still sitting here breathing because the Lord is so concerned with your life. I think the reason why you're still here breathing is because clearly God's got something for you to do. Clearly there is a purpose. Clearly all things work together. Who am I talking to? Clearly there must be some reason why you're still here. There's absolutely no reason for many of you to be here. You're not that saved. I need a heathen to wave their hand. My hand is up. You not that saved. You not that righteous. You just cuss somebody out. Stop it. Stop it. You didn't kill somebody, but you wish they would die. You wanted to lay holy hands on them. Stop acting like God spared you because God, no, no, no. God spared you because the Lord will use you even when you raggedy. The Lord will use you even when you ain't altogether right. The Lord will kill as many Philistines as he can with you as long as if you serve a purpose, if you are called according to his purpose, you got a trump card. No, I can't say that. I can't say that. No, 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 I can't say. You got a good card. You got the big joker. That man done messed up spades forever. You got the big joker. Edit that out. Edit that out. I don't want him to hear that. He holds grudges. What I'm saying to you is, beloved, you are not alive because God loves you so much he wants to spare your life. Get that out your head. The Lord will use your death just as much as using your life. Do I have a witness in the building? Has anybody ever been to a funeral where a whole bunch of folk got saved because somebody good died? See, we don't like to talk about this. We don't like to think about it. It messes with our theology. Our everything always amazing, perfect theology. Number seven, and I'm done, because number seven is where I've been trying to get to. All of this time, all of this was appetizer. All of this was just chips and bread and salsa. All of this was just cheese sticks to get to number seven, and that is, Jesus said, why are y'all so scared? Where's your faith? Why are you afraid? Beloved, for all of us in the room, for everyone watching around the world, I have to admit, I was scared. I was scared. When this COVID thing came and we couldn't have church, I was scared. I was scared y'all weren't gonna give. Because folk will be like, oh, no church? No tithe. I wish I had a witness, especially us, son, especially us. I preached at this big white church, huge white church. I preached at this big white church, and after the service, I got up to preach. And then after, I said, now, where was the offering? He said, we don't take offering. I said, y'all don't take an offering? We just have stuff at the door. I said, y'all. Let me tell you something. I almost make these people march. Stop. Don't act like you didn't march. Don't act like you didn't grow up in a church where they counted it and came back out. Listen, y'all, we need $1,700 today. This offering was $1,100. Why are you so afraid? COVID, why are you so afraid? They're gonna lay you off. Why are you so afraid? We think you don't have sperm. Why are you so afraid? We think you're about to lose your money. Why are you so afraid? We think the odds are stacked against you. Why are you so afraid? Why are we still afraid? Many of us have been in church all our lives. We have prayed, we have hollered, we have screamed, we have done it all. Why are we still scared? Why is fear still a factor? Didn't they tell us that if we had faith, we'd have no fear? Why is fear still a factor? Jesus says, where is your faith in the scary moment? Where is our confidence? Nothing else, beloved. On the other side of this thing, I want us to have more confidence. I said, I want us to have more confidence. I want the Lord to supernaturally empty us of fear and fill us up with confidence. And that's what brings me to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I have always looked at that prayer, Elder, and thought that that last part, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen, was something that we said to God. It was the way that the prayer ended, son. That you start with praise and you end with praise. That's what I was taught. But something has happened in this moment in which I've thought to myself, maybe, just maybe, when Jesus was teaching them to pray, he said, pray all of this and pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that was the end. And then maybe Jesus looked at his disciples and said, for yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord Jesus was saying his disciples, I'm telling you, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Maybe if the God we serve has kingdom and power and glory, then maybe, just maybe, he made it for us. Maybe we'd have more confidence if we understood that we have access to the kingdom, that we have access to power, that his glory shall be revealed in us. Part of the reason why we are so lacking in confidence is because we have been taught to constantly give kingdom and power and glory back to God and not realize that the Lord is saying, beloved, the kingdom and the power and the glory is something that I have set up for you to walk in. I didn't make the kingdom for me to walk in it. I made the kingdom for you to walk in it. I didn't make power for me to. I was already powerful. I already was the Alpha and the Omega. I already was the beginning and the end. The reason why I came down here to destroy the works of the devil is so that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and your whole mind will change. That there's a glory you will access as a result of the kingdom and the power and the glory. I came here to tell somebody, why did the chicken cross the road? The chicken crossed the road to get to the other side. And on the other side is kingdom, power, and glory. Put your hands together. Kingdom, power, glory. Put your hands together if you're believing. Kingdom, power, glory. Come on, put your hands together. Kingdom, power, glory. Bow your head. Let me pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you that we're determined not to be chickens. Thank you that we're determined not to be afraid. We're determined to run on, see what the end's going to be. Thank you that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of you. We have spent a lot of time chasing church. Now we want to chase kingdom. We've spent a lot of time chasing religion. Now we want to chase power. Praise you, God, for this worship service we had, but it is here to usher us into the kingdom and the power and the glory. For thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. God, we have constantly acknowledged that. But God, perhaps we are hearing you say, wait, son. Wait, daughter. I did all of this for you to access kingdom, for you to be filled with power, for you to walk in the glory of the Lord. Use us right now. Fill us full of yourself like never before. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. If you heard a word from the Lord, can you put your hands together really quickly? I said, if you heard a word from the Lord, can you put your hands together really quickly? Can I get you to give again? Can I get you to throw your hand up and get an offering envelope? Can you not run out on me? Can you just a second? Can I get you to give one more time? Can I get you to sow a seed? Y'all have been watching me take up a second offering for the last year and a half, and I'm taking up another one right now. I want you to sow into this word, kingdom, power, and glory. You're watching right now from around the world. So if you just text WOE online to 77977, there's a QR code on your screen. There's a QR code on your offering envelope. And you can give. It'll pop up right now. You'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. I know we've gone a little bit over, but that's all right. We haven't had church in a year and a half. We're going to have church from 10 to 12 from now on. We started at 10:30 today. It's a little after 12:30. That's all right. Some of us grew up in church where the preacher didn't get up till 12:30. Stop it. Choir didn't stop singing till 12:30. Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? I've been asking for at least $50 above and beyond your tithe. I know so many of you are watching around the world. You can sow into the work of the kingdom of God. September 1st, I'm going to be sharing with you the vision that God has given us. I don't know if you've seen it, but we've got this land on 70, and we haven't got long to stay here. And so this is our building fund offering. We're going to be taking it up from now on. You have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. And no matter where you are, literally around the world, you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to beg you. You can't beat God given no matter how hard you try. Our desire is to please the Lord and to acknowledge that we have survived for his purpose. You can text me online. You can make your checks payable to WOCC, World Overcomers Christian Church, if you're still using checks. My God, are we even doing that? If you are, I guess we'll still take them. But if you text me online to 77977, and you'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. You can set it up, automate it to give. You're watching around the world. Let's give out of our gratitude. Let's give not as a debt we owe, but as a seed we sow. Although we owe. We owe. What shall I render unto God for all of his benefits towards me? We owe. If you're in here and after this, you still have money. Some of you have made more money. Some of you are more successful than ever. Yeah, that has happened. Not just because the Lord loves you, but because he wants to use you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for us. And we're going to come together to do it. And I'm going to be sharing my vision with you on the first Sunday in September. I'm going to need your help because God has given me a vision and it's powerful. And it's going to impact not just our church, but our area. It's powerful. Come on, let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for our time together today. Thank you for this moment that we have to sow. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. You've protected us. You watched over us. You've seen us through. And now for all of us in the room and for folks around the world, we give an offering. Pastor Manny led us into giving our tithe, but God, we're sowing now an offering above and beyond our tithe, and we're giving to your work. And we ask you to take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. Bless the gift and the giver. Anointing rest on us. God, take our businesses to another level. God, take our money to another level. Lord, we speak blessing and prosperity over your people. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name. we all sit together. God bless you as you give. Wednesday nights, we're still doing the Wednesday night stream. We'll let you know when we're going to have Wednesday night service again. Next Sunday, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. There's no more registration. Just come to church. Invite somebody to church. Tonight, 6 p.m. When you're leaving today, I'm about to go to the lobby, and I'll be there if you'd like to take a picture with me or me to sign a t-shirt. I definitely will be there. You can also get a ticket there in the lobby if you want to come to this concert tonight. Phil Thompson and friends, it's going to be powerful. Only $10 today. You're a member of World Overcomers. If you're watching live stream and you missed it, oh, you see, well, you could have came. You can come tonight, 6 p.m. We will be here. I will be here. And it's going to be a powerful time. This album release as we support our own. Amen. They told me that they have one last video to show you. You guys ready? Go ahead. One last video.
Patiently waiting on my dreams to come true. Hoping and praying one day that they do. Oh, I don't know how and I don't know when. Just patiently waiting till then, then.
I know the first time I had stopped for geese, and the Holy Spirit said to me, that's you. I said, Lord, that's me. He said, yeah. Why are you walking when you could be flying? Why are you moving slower than you could move? Why are you waddling when I've given you wings to get across? And I decided I'm not stopping for a bird that has a way to get across faster than the way they're going. Can you put your hands together one more time? Were you glad to be in the service? Stand on your feet. It's so hard for me not to tell people to reach out and grab somebody's hand, but I'm not going to tell you to reach out and grab nobody's hand. Wrap your arms around yourself. That's what I'll say. Reach out. Don't touch nobody's hand. Wrap your arms around yourself. Can you wrap your arms around yourself? There's food trucks outside. I'm going to be in the lobby. There's t-shirts that you can purchase. Phil Thompson's table. You can buy a ticket for tonight. Please come. We're going to have a time in here whether you come or not. We're going to worship the Lord together. Watching around the world. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for this first service back. Thank you, Lord God, that this is just the beginning of what you're about to do. Thank you, Lord God, that we are about to see a move like never before. And we've experienced so much. But God, now we know the best is yet to come. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking through these lips of clay, your unsearchable riches. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you that the kingdom belongs to us. The power belongs to us. The glory belongs to us. Now, God, dismiss us from this place. All of us that gather together in the room, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. For everyone watching around the world, God, bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us and give us peace, favor on us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God, as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday. See you next Sunday. See you next Sunday. 10 a.m. See you next Sunday.